Wealth isn't just about money. It's about the life you build and the legacy you leave behind. Welcome to Money Sense, where we've spent over 30 years helping people make confident decisions that reflect their values and build lasting impact.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Director of Client Experience and Wealth Advisor for Ellen Becker Investment Group. Well, today my guest is Ben Rivak from Provisor, a mortgage company.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
I'm so excited that you're here today. As the Director of Business Development and Senior Loan Officer for Provisor, I'm sure it's been a busy couple of years with what the real estate market has looked like here in Wisconsin.
Oh, gosh, yes. We've been solidly in a seller's market since probably about COVID now. So
that's a long time for a bull market in Wisconsin.
Very. Yeah. Yeah. It's unusual.
I'm really excited to talk about interest rates and mortgages today. I wanted to talk a little bit about your background. You and I first met a couple months ago. What really struck me about you was how you go about your mortgage business. So I wanted you to share a little bit about what does a day in the life look like for you?
When we met a few months back, you know, what really stood out to me was the parallels that we hold with education. There's, you know, a mortgage is a mortgage. I almost think about mortgage loans kind of like a commodity because they're so regulated. It's not like you're going to get a dramatically different end product from one mortgage lender to the next. And so when I think about how I can be the most helpful to the industry, it really boils down to how can we help people in a way that gives them the best education so they can make the most educated decisions about whatever their situation is. And situations vary so dramatically. It has to be a one-on-one approach. There's not a one-size-fits-all for a mortgage loan. So what does a day in my world look like? Every day is different. And I love that. Like, I think my industry is a little more reactive than the financial planning industry. A lot of the referrals that I'll get are from real estate agents. And a lot of times those leads that the real estate agent gets are from an online source like Zillow or Realtor.com. They might want to go look at a house on a Friday night. They want to buy the house and the house already has two or three offers on it. So guess who's working on a Friday night?
You are.
I am. Exactly. So it's a matter of just being available for what the market demands and doing it in a way that ensures that our clients have a good experience and there's no surprises along the way.
So I love what you said about the educational approach, because that's key to everything we do here. But I think often when I hear about clients' experiences with their mortgage, with their mortgage broker, their advisor, they're not necessarily getting that education. I think they're looking at it as a mortgage is a mortgage, and it doesn't matter where they go. And that often ends up with not a great fit. What are the key things that clients should be looking for in their lender?
That is an excellent question. I see the same thing. And the client usually doesn't see it until they're too far committed in the purchase process.
I've seen that.
Realize something's wrong.
Yeah.
Because they realize, I don't know what this means. What's my cash to close? I saw that early on in my career. And there, what I discovered was there's not a good corporate solution like available to buy that helps you educate clients in the way that I believe that people should be educated around their loan options. And so I built one, and it's nothing special. It's just an Excel spreadsheet, but I call it a total cost breakdown. And the way I describe it to clients is it's the closest thing we can get to exact numbers until you have an accepted offer and your rate is locked. The nice part about it is it's actually interactive. And so as you're looking at homes, you can take any house that's emailed to you if you're interested in it. Just plug in the purchase price and the property tax bill, and everything else updates automatically. And so you'll see what your payment is, what your cash to close is, and we can simulate any situation in that breakdown. If someone's using a seller credit to help reduce their closing costs, or if they have a gift of equity from family, we can simulate any situation in there. And so even though it's a generic breakdown, it's customized to their situation, their credit score, their interest rates, their down payment, and it just takes out all the questions. Mm-hmm. And so then when they're looking at writing an offer, they're able to make an offer confidently because they know what the terms of the offer translate into monthly payment and cash to close.
That transparency is so important because transparency builds trust. And I think that there is not a lot of understanding.
It's funny because Provisor's tagline is transparent mortgage solutions. And it just fits.
Mm-hmm. It's so important. You know, housing is for most people their biggest expense over their lifetime, second only to taxes and maybe higher education, but it's a really big expense. So entering into that decision with complete transparency and understanding, I think, can really bring a lot of peace of mind to the process. On our end, we often sit with clients and help them really budget for what that expense is going to look like. And they find a house in that budget. And then all of a sudden, when the final numbers come through, they're quite a bit higher than where they intended to be.
That should never happen, by the way. I know it happens frequently. Yep. There's no reason for that to happen.
Well, and thankfully, you know, through good planning, we're able to help our clients meet their goals, even when some surprises and some pivots, you know, have to take place. But I'm so happy to hear about that transparency, because I think as we think about where your industry is heading, where our industry is heading, transparency has been a cornerstone for Ellen Becker since we opened our doors in 1996.
Yeah.
And it just feels good to know what you're paying. That's nice.
It feels really good to be on our side of the table, too, and to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and feel really good about what you're doing, because you know what the industry looks like and you know that you're providing a level of service and transparency. The law doesn't force us to do what we do. We do it because we know it's the right thing to do. And for me, that's fulfilling. Like, we're helping people with the biggest transaction of their lives, and we're doing it in a way that ensures they have a great experience. And that's what gets me out of bed in the morning.
That's a really important thing. I love hearing about building the trust. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Ben Revac from Provisor in just a few minutes.
Planning a vacation this year? Before you take off, make sure you understand whether travel insurance should be part of your plan. Join Ellen Becker Investment Group on March 12th from noon to 1:30 p.m. for a live educational webinar with our insurance liaison, Evan Brown. He'll walk you through the key types of travel insurance, what your policy actually covers and why it matters, common exclusions, and how to evaluate costs before you buy. Learn more and register through the link in our show notes.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Christina Schnuckel, Wealth Advisor and Director of Client Experience here at Ellen Becker Investment Group. My guest today is Ben Revac from Provisor. Ben, you are the Director of Business Development and Senior Loan Officer over there at Provisor. And we've been talking today about really your approach to mortgage and the transparency that you're able to bring to that process as a partner to your clients. And as we think about kind of the changing landscape of the mortgage world, I was hoping you could share a little bit about your approach around really the role that the lender plays in a purchase, so an outright purchase versus a refi. That's one thing that clients are often always keyed up on, especially when we hear about interest rates potentially starting to come down. That is something that's kind of top of mind for a lot of clients, of waiting to hopefully reduce their mortgages. So what's the advantages that you can bring to a relationship for a client when we're talking about a refi or a purchase?
Yeah. Well, purchases first. I think the majority of the business that I've done most recently, even with the lower rates, has been purchase business. And when you're buying a home and you're using financing to purchase the home, the listing agent and the seller know that your offer is only as good as the financing behind you. And so it absolutely is important whose name is on that pre-approval letter. The sellers and listing agents take that into consideration when they're deciding which offer to go with. To take that a step further, one of the things that I really encourage the realtors that I work with to take advantage of is, if you copy me on the email of your offer to the listing agent and just shoot me a text and say, hey, we just put an offer in on here, can you reach out to the listing agent? I'll call them and I'll just say, hey, any questions you have about their financing, I'm more than happy to help. And that goes a long way, because that listing agent then knows that if something comes up in the transaction, which something always comes up, the lender's going to be available to help solve it and find a win-win solution. And you can't put a price on that. So that's a big thing that we do for purchases. If you're looking around to find a good lender, there's no substitute for experience. And so the first question you should ask any loan officer is, how many loans did you close in the last 12 months? Doesn't matter how long they've been in the industry. You can be bad at something your whole life. How many loans have you closed in the last 12 months? And then I would ask them what they do to help your offer get accepted. And don't give them any leading questions. Just ask them and see what they say. And if they don't know, well, they're probably not going to do anything, because that's kind of the norm. It's like, here's your pre-approval. Good luck. Send me your accepted offer when you get it. I think with those two questions, and then if you, I would really look to and see if they have any reviews, like vetted reviews. Google reviews are the best, in my opinion, because Google has a very, very in-depth process to make sure there are not fake reviews out there. There's other vendors, like I think experience.com is one of them, Trustpilot, but getting an idea of the reputation of the lender you're working with, that's probably the best thing you can do. Because what's a listing agent going to do when they're curious? They're going to go on Google. So it goes a long way.
Well, that's really interesting what you said about having your clients copy you in, send you a text message, you're available after hours. That is huge. I think back to the last time we purchased a house, we did not have that, and it did not go so well. That's a huge differentiator. And I could see how that would be such a huge peace of mind.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that you don't know you're missing it until you don't have it. And that's one of the hardest things for me. I get calls all the time like, hey, can you give me a quote on rates for this? I'm like, I can. Is that all that's important to you? Because if rates all that's important to you, you know, you're closing in 2.5 weeks and you're self-employed and your income's tough and like, and people get hung up on rate. It's like, if you can't close on time, what does the rate matter? So rates are very important. I mean, the way we operate, we're essentially a broker, but we do everything in-house. So we shop around for the best rate for a client. We have multiple investors we work with, but we run the process in-house, which gives us a lot of control over the experience, the client experience.
But it sounds like you have a lot of flexibility to think on your feet, to be nimble, to help clients find solutions, which I can't tell you how many clients I've had that have run into roadblocks with their mortgage lenders, and their lenders have just kind of said, well, that is what it is. You know, you're on your own for this. And that's a real struggle when you've put all your hopes and dreams into this and it's not working. You're hitting a roadblock.
Yeah, and sometimes there are things that are hard stops, but it's very seldom. There's nearly always a solution, and it's asking the right questions to find that solution, to find that win-win. Every deal, there's bumps in every deal, and it usually doesn't stem from the lender, but the lender's usually involved or has to be involved to find a solution. And so I couldn't do it without my team. I have an incredible team. I have 4 people that help me. They free me up to be available when I'm needed. And I try to focus my time on the most high impact aspects of our business. And then, you know, a mortgage, I described it like a commodity earlier, you know, your W-2 is your W-2. You're going to have to provide it no matter who you use as a lender. Does Ben need to be the guy saving your W-2 into a PDF file?
No, that's not a great use of your time.
Not a great use of my time. So we try to be very efficient with who does what and when. And that's what allows us to be so available and responsive.
I think that's key. And so, Ben, you mentioned that you have a team. You are not a one-man shop out there working around the clock. Tell me a little bit about that team structure.
I like to be involved with every transaction. So I'm not removed from production. I'm very involved. I talk to every client. I talk to every realtor I work with. I'm mostly involved on the front end when we're running numbers, getting a pre-approval done, explaining the total cost breakdown to a client, and helping get that accepted offer. Once they're under contract, at that point, I help set up the breakdown that shows the terms of the offer. We have the total cost breakdown when they're pre-approved. Once they get an accepted offer, we have a total cost breakdown that reflects the terms of the offer. That matches up exactly with the formal loan estimate. We're required by law to send a formal loan estimate. It's kind of confusing. And so the numbers will match up pretty much exactly like within a dollar. And then you can see side by side, here's what you were looking at before you wrote the offer. here's what the numbers are once you're under contract. And, oh, they're the same, you know, no surprises. And then
that's transparency again.
Exactly. And then when you get to closing, the numbers on your closing disclosure are going to be pretty much exactly what they were on the breakdown, you know, unless you had like structural changes, like you changed the loan amount or you changed the purchase price or the down payment. But it's simple. It's really not a difficult thing to do. You just got to take the time to put it together when you do the pre-approval.
So a client's mortgage advisor can add a ton of value during that purchasing process. What's the value add that you feel that a mortgage advisor can bring to the refi process?
That's a really good question. So later in the year, like now in Wisconsin, property tax bills come out early to mid-December, and they're due by January 31st. Most home buyers escrow for taxes and insurance. And all escrow means is that a portion of your monthly housing payment gets set aside into a separate account that the loan servicer maintains. The money that goes in there gets used to pay your taxes and your homeowner's insurance. When you refinance, if you want to continue escrowing, you end up funding that new escrow account for that new loan at closing. So you have to bring money to closing to fund it. Let's say your tax bill is, you know, $10,000 a year, and you're refinancing in October, you're not going to make your first payment till December 1st. Well, the tax bill comes out in December. So we need to have a two-month cushion of taxes in there, plus pretty much your full tax bill, ready to pay the bill in December. And so you're basically prepaying your tax bill at closing. And so it's just back to education. Educating clients about how those numbers work in a refinance. Because we offer a free refinance for all of our past clients. If you've done your purchase with us or a refi, after you make the first six payments, we'll pay your closing costs for you. We basically can set our compensation for each different loan type, like refinances and purchases. My compensation on a refinance is half of what it is on a purchase. And that's not an accident. I use that revenue that's not going to me to give it back to the client to pay for their closing costs. And Provisor contributes some of that too. But we pay all of the loan-related closing costs.
Ben, what do you see as the rate movement that needs to happen to really make a refi make sense?
If we got into the fives, if we were at 5.5, I would have to hire a couple more people to help with the refis, which I wouldn't complain about, you know.
You'd be seeing me. We'd be there.
And you and, you know, and all your neighbors, you know, yeah. It's I think the days of the twos and the threes for a 30-year fixed rate are probably gone. I hope they're gone. We would have to go through another COVID to see that. And no one wants that. Mm-hmm. And it's not sustainable either. I mean, as you are well aware, we've been paying the price for that free money for the last few years. So I don't wish that upon us, but it would be nice to see things dip into the fives, give some relief for homeowners, you know, folks who bought in the high sevens. They could save $400 or $500 a month in interest or more getting down into the high fives. So that would be a relief for everybody.
Well, Ben, we're going to pause there and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you're looking for a trusted partner or ready to elevate your financial plan, you're in the right place. With multiple Better Business Bureau Torch Awards for ethics and integrity, Ellen Becker combines expertise with a team member you can trust. Meet our advisors and explore financial resources at ellenbecker.com.
Welcome back to Money Sense. We've been talking about the mortgage industry and really everything that clients need to be educated at to get the most out of their mortgage experience. I've often looked at it as a mortgage is a mortgage is a mortgage, but it really sounds like the service is the key differentiator when it comes to what that experience is going to be like from point A to point B.
Yeah, and I agree with you. A mortgage is a mortgage is a mortgage. And there's some nuance to the types of loans. If you're getting a conventional loan, the end product is going to be the same pretty much anywhere. It's the journey to get to the end product that we can really help with, and making sure that the end product that you're getting is what's actually in your best interest.
So, for sure. Well, Ben, let's talk a little bit about interest rates. So in my world, interest rates are always kind of front and center because we're big proponents of clients having fixed income in their portfolio to provide income protection. And the Fed cut rates in September, We're anticipating a few more rate cuts, which really for us is going to impact those bond yields. It's going to impact money market yields, which we've been in a really nice environment for a couple of years where clients can get 4% for safe money in a high yield money market. So as those interest rates come down, we're sad on our end, but clients looking to purchase a house are often excited about the prospect of potentially seeing lower interest rates. Now, we haven't really quite seen that change yet, but when I Google today's mortgage rates, you get a variety. You get somewhere between 4% and 7%. So what's up with that? What should clients be understanding when they go out there and look at what is the rate today?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So this is the mortgage nerd in me coming out. So if you're doing a conventional loan, all conventional loans end up getting sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And that they're the source of the money. And money costs the same for every lender out there. And so the difference is, what's the margin the lender's trying to make on that money? And so when you go online and you see, oh, I can get a conventional fixed rate at 4%. Can you really? Are you sure? Because I know what the cost of money is today, and I don't think you can, because they'd be paying you to take that loan. And lenders are not losing money doing mortgages. That doesn't.
No, it's not a nonprofit.
It's not a nonprofit. There is a lot of smoke and mirrors in our industry. And, you know, the regulators have done the best job they can to prevent that. But like we talked about earlier, what regulation requires and what the right thing to do is for educating clients are two separate things. And that's why working with the right lender and asking the right questions to make sure you're working with the right lender are so, so important. So I'm glad you brought up rates and yields. With bond yields, every time in the last 2 years the Fed has cut rates, mortgage rates have moved higher.
Yes.
And people, I get 100 phone calls. Rates cut. Rates were cut. Can I refinance my loan now? Actually, rates are higher than they were when they cut rates, and I'll explain why. It's the market. Mortgage rates are set by a market, and the market anticipates, and you've heard the old adage, buy the rumor, sell the news. It's the same thing in mortgage lending. The market has already priced in that rate cut that Jerome Powell was talking about. As soon as they make the cut, everybody starts to sell and rates go higher. And so if you look back at September of 2024, the Fed cut rates by 0.5 point. Within the 8 weeks after that, mortgage rates climbed almost 1%. And the same thing happened this year, where they just cut rates by 0.25 point. Mortgage rates started to climb. Right now, they're higher than they were the week leading up to that actual rate cut. And, you know, we could debate why that is, but the fact is it's happened in the past. It continues to happen. And trying to time the market, it's just not viable. If you could do that, why not leverage up, go buy an island in the Caribbean? Because like, if you can time the market, anyone's going to invest with you. Mm-hmm. And so the advice I usually give clients is, you need a home to live in. You want to get the right home.
Right.
A 0.5 point on rate is going to be the difference maker between you getting the right home for your family versus staying where you're at.
Yeah.
Like, come on, you can refinance.
Absolutely. And your advice is the same that we give our clients, is we want to help them plan for what that dream home is and help make it a reality regardless of what interest rates are.
Exactly.
And I often encourage clients to remember that historically, you know, paying 6.5% for a mortgage is still a great deal. I was explaining this to my 11-year-old the other day, who was asking about how people buy homes and whatnot and not understanding why people don't pay for homes in cash. And, you know, an 11-year-old can't wrap their head around, you know, the amount of money it costs to buy a home these days. So that interest rate is historically low. And the key is planning and saving. And we can help clients budget for that and plan for it, you know, regardless of what those interest rates are. But for many of our clients that have been kind of on the sidelines of saying, you know, well, you know, should I wait till interest rates come down to buy a home? And, you know, the unknown is, when will those interest rates come down? And what will happen to prices of homes too? So we encourage clients that when you find the right place, talk to us, help us. We'll help you figure out how to do it.
Yeah. 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 And you know, you brought up going on Google and seeing where rates are at. The way I describe rates is, there's two parts to an interest rate. There's your annual rate, which everyone wants to talk about that. And then you have the option to pay prepaid interest at closing in return for a lower annual rate. And we call that discount points. And so when you go on Google, the ads that you're seeing are a lender's best rate, probably with 2 or 2.5 points baked in. And so what that means is if your loan is $500,000, 1% or 1 point would be $5,000. 2.5 points would be $12,500. So the rate they're showing you, they're requiring you to pay them $12,500 at closing to get that rate.
So that's the smoke and mirrors.
Exactly. And it's completely legal because it's in the fine print. Mm-hmm. But clients don't know the terminology all the time to read through that and understand what they're getting.
Talk with me a little bit about the difference between a fixed rate and an adjustable rate mortgage, and what we call an ARM.
Yeah.
I get that question a lot from clients of just understanding which option they should go with.
Yeah. Yeah. And what you'll see is a conventional loan, a 30-year fixed. There are adjustable rate conventional loans. They're not really popular because the rates are not nearly as low as an adjustable rate through a local bank or credit union. When banks and credit unions lend their own money, they typically don't do it for a fixed term because they don't want, that's an interest rate exposure risk to them. If they lend, let's say they have $100 million in loans of their own money and they've lent it out at, you know, during COVID at 3% for 30 years, and all of a sudden the overnight rate rises to 6, they're underwater. They still have to pay 4% to keep their depositors from leaving. And they have all these loans at 3%, they're losing money. And so when banks and credit unions lend their own money, they're going to do an adjustable rate mortgage usually. And it's the rate is, it's a 30-year amortization. So your payment's very similar to a 30-year fixed. And then the rate is fixed for a set amount of time. Once that fixed period expires, that's when your rate can adjust. And the terms of how it can adjust will be laid out in your mortgage. Making sure that your lender explains that to you in detail is very, very important. Mm-hmm. There's limits to how often the rate can adjust. There's limits to how much it can adjust each time it changes. And then simulating what your actual payment is going to change to in a worst case scenario, I think that's probably the most important question to ask, because you'd like to hope for the best, but plan for the worst. You don't want to be caught off guard where all of a sudden you can't afford to live in your home because you didn't understand what adjustable rate meant to your monthly payment.
Yeah, that sounds like it could potentially open clients up for risk if they don't understand what those terms are and read that fine print.
Yep, 100%.
Well, and I will say, even reading the fine print, sometimes if you're not in this industry, clients just don't understand it.
One of the things that I find myself saying over and over and over is, if you have questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. I mean, I look back and that's like kind of an every single email I send, because if someone has unanswered questions, I haven't done my job yet. Like, they need to understand what they're doing, and there's no stupid questions. And so that's you think back to what we were talking before about what questions to ask. If you're asking questions and your lender isn't like happily answering them for you, that's a good sign you need to find someone else, because you need to understand what you're doing. And a good lender is going to be able to explain to you in a way that you can understand exactly what goes into that mortgage and that mortgage process.
I often tell clients, I could spend 30 minutes on every review giving them a full dissertation on what the market's doing. But at the end of the day, what they need to understand is, what is that impact to their bottom line and to their goals? And if I can't translate that information to something that's meaningful for the client, I'm going to lose that relationship, because they're not going to have confidence in the plan for the long term. You know, when you're buying a home, you need to enter into that relationship really confident in what you're doing. It's a huge expense.
Yeah. One of the biggest, and you're borrowing money to do it. And that's part of what gets me out of bed in the morning, is the impact that we can have on the lives of so many people. Like, when a client comes back to me 2-3 years later and they're going to sell their house and buy their move-up home, and they actually remembered me and my team and my experience, and they call me back to do that next home purchase, like, that makes my week, Christina. Like, it feels really good, because you know you actually touched the lives of those people. And as I get further in my career, that happens more and more frequently. And it's like, it's cool to see all these little seeds you planted years ago coming back into your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the relationship and the ability to impact clients' lives for the positive. I think that is so important, because in a business like mortgages, it could, you could just be solely transactional of just pushing those mortgages, get them in, get them out. And but what value do you get to add at that point?
Yep. And I, as I get busier, I've worked really hard to not become that, because you have to have a process that keeps you involved in a way that you can still serve all of the people that are asking you for help. So it's a blessing.
Good.
Good. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with Ben some more after the break.
Want to keep building wealth that aligns with your values? New episodes of Money Sense drop weekly. Subscribe now and continue learning how your money, your choices, and your life can work together.
Welcome back to Money Sense. Today, I've been chatting with Ben Rivak from Provisor. And Ben, you've been really enlightening me, enlightening our listeners today about the mortgage process and talking about how important it is to have transparency in that process and in that relationship with your mortgage advisor, because that's how you take that from a transaction to a long-term relationship where you can really add a lot of value. What I wanted to kind of ask you for this next segment, as we dive in, we've talked about interest rates, we've talked about different types of mortgages and talked about your approach, but what is vital for them to know going into the process? What comes to mind for me is feedback that I often hear of clients of being surprised by costs. What can you share about that?
A great, great question. And if we've done our job right, there won't be any surprises. That's the way I see my role. And there's several things we do to make that happen. We talked about the total cost breakdown. That's the first step. When we do a pre-approval, the client, we understand what that client's situation is, what their goals are, and we give them a breakdown that shows as close to exact numbers as we can get for any given house they're interested in. And that way, when they're writing the offer, they have a really good idea of what their monthly payment is and what their cash to close is. There's some variables that are in there that we have to take guesses at. So interest rates change daily, sometimes multiple times a day. And so when we set a breakdown up, we always put the rates for that current day in there. And then we let the client know, hey, if you're writing an offer and you're curious about have rates moved, just text us. We'll tell you right away. It's easy for us to look that up. It takes 2 or 3 minutes. And then they know they're working with the most recent up-to-date rates. We don't know what their homeowner's insurance is going to be. They have to go get a quote. And if they're a high risk, like if they've had 4 claims in the last 2 years, their premium is going to be dramatically different than someone who has never filed a claim.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the variables. We can get an exact mortgage insurance quote. If you're not doing 20% down, we know what your credit scores are. So we know the pricing adjustments on your mortgage. There's not a whole lot that should change from the time you get an accepted offer to the time you close. And where I see that experience that you described happening, it's because the lender didn't do a good job of explaining to the client everything that goes into their closing.
Mm-hmm.
There are several numbers that we don't get until a couple days before closing. Like in the offer to purchase, there's prorations. Taxes are typically prorated. So the seller will give the buyer a credit at closing from the first of the year through the day before closing. We have to guess at what that is. We can do the math and figure it out, but ultimately the title company determines that number. And if we're using bifurcated title where the buyer and seller each have their own title company, the title companies will balance and agree on all those prorations. I get those prorations from the title company a day or two before closing, usually. Sometimes it's a week, but usually it's a couple days. And so I don't ever want a client to have a surprise 2 days before closing. So we have to be very diligent when we do that breakdown and we set up our loan estimate to make sure that the numbers we're using are going to be pretty much the same as what title comes up with. A lot of lenders don't want to take the time to do that. On a loan estimate, it's the required document that a lender has to send to a client. There's certain costs on there that cannot change, and there's many costs that can. And so when you sign a loan estimate, one of the big things that you really have to look for is your interest rate locked? Or is it not? If it's not locked, the reality is you don't know what your rate is going to be when that lender locks it. A lender can send you a loan estimate that shows you're at 6% with no points and it's floating. And then when it comes time to lock your rate, you're at 6.5 paying 1.5. And the difference in payment could be $250, $300. And the difference in closing costs could be $5,000 or $6,000.
That's a big difference.
That's legal. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. The CFPB has done their best to educate the public about how that loan estimate works. But if you don't have a lender that is transparent and wants to explain this stuff to you, it's really, really hard to educate yourself around all of the unknowns by yourself if you don't mm-hmm. work in the industry. So
for sure,
it's just so important to have the right person on your team to help you through the process and make sure you're not going to have a surprise when you sit down at closing. Like, you don't want to ruin your closing day. Like, you're getting your new house.
Yeah.
Why?
You don't want that shadow over there.
Gosh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. So, Ben, it sounds like one of the variables can be that interest rate. When do buyers have the ability to lock that rate? When does that lock happen?
Typically, it's as soon as you have an accepted offer. There are some lenders that and investors that we work with where we can do what's called a lock and shop. It's not very popular because when you do that, when you lock your rate prior to having an accepted offer, buying the money for your loan with no assurance that you're going to close. And when an investor locks an interest rate, they're buying the money from the bond market at that market price. There's a cost to them for that. And so they pass that along to the client. So if you wanted to lock your rate before you ever go shopping, your rate's going to be noticeably higher than if you wait till you have an accepted offer. And so 99.9% of buyers wait until they have an accepted offer to lock their rate. Once you have an accepted offer and your rate is locked, in most cases, it can't go up. It can go down, but it can't go up. The reason that it can't go up is when we send a loan estimate and it says on that loan estimate, your rate is locked through a certain day. By law, we have to honor that.
Ben, you mentioned that once you lock, essentially, rates can't go up, but they can go down. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So when an interest rate is locked, we're buying the money from the bond market at market price. And so if rates get worse, bond yields change and rates go higher, your money's already bought for your loan. You can still change your mind about down payment percentage. Like, let's say you're waffling between 10 and 20% down. But you're not sure what you want to do. You can make that decision once your rate is locked and you're well on your way through underwriting. But you don't need to make that decision before you write the offer or before we lock your rate. If rates get significantly better, we can do what's called a float down or a relock, where we look around at the market and we talk to the investor, we have your rate locked. I'm like, hey, we locked their rate. Rates improved 0.5%. They're looking around. They know that rates drop. Like, what's the best you can do? And we negotiate on the client's behalf with the end investor to find a win-win, because that end investor doesn't want to lose that rate lock. It costs them money to lock that rate. And so we're kind of the middleman representing our clients to the investors that offer financing for mortgages to make sure that the client is getting the best possible deal for their situation. And we need a little time to do that. You know, if you're like a week before closing and rates drop, there might not be enough time, but we can make a good effort at trying to find a lower rate for the client.
Okay. Ben, you mentioned down payment of 20%, 10%. Do you have a recommendation on, you know, what's in the client's best interest these days? I'm sure it's situational, but I always get asked by clients, like, should I plan on a 20% down payment? You know, is that still the best practice and the standard, or are there more options available to clients these days?
Yeah, it totally depends. You know, if let's say you're a veteran and you qualify for a VA loan, you don't have mortgage insurance. And if you have any VA disability, you're not going to have a funding fee. And so you can finance 100% of the purchase price for essentially the same rate, same closing costs as if you did 20% down. Now, let's say you're at, you know, 5.5% on a 30-year fixed VA and you're earning 14% or 10% on your investment portfolio. Why would you put less money into your portfolio to save 5% on a loan? So you got to look at the spread of rates and what's your return on investment in your investments and what are you giving up to do 20% down? Now, if you have marginal credit and your mortgage insurance costs are really high, 20% down might be in your best interest, but it's so situational. And that's another reason working with a loan advisor that takes the time to ask the questions, understand your situation, you'll know that they're giving you good advice because they took the time to understand. If you're not having that kind of an in-depth conversation with your loan officer, that's a sign you should look around, find a loan officer who's willing to slow down, talk through your situation, and give you personalized advice.
So in closing today, Ben, I know my biggest takeaway is that the loan advisor makes a huge impact and a huge difference for the client. It isn't this one shoe fits all. They need to be partnering with someone like you that is going to look at their situation and advocate for them and for what's in their best interest.
100%.
Well, thank you so much, Ben, for coming on the show today. I really enjoyed getting down into some of these mortgage topics that I don't always get a chance to dive into with clients. So thank you. For our listeners today, if this has been helpful, please feel free to reach out to Ben. His email is ben@provisor.com. He's happy to answer questions. As always, I hope that I've made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Money Sense, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. If you found today's conversation helpful, we encourage you to share it with a friend or family member, and be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. At Ellen Becker Investment Group, we believe that education is the foundation of confident financial decisions. That's why we're proud to bring you insights from experienced professionals to help you build true wealth beyond just money. Please know, this podcast is intended for general informational purposes only and does not constitute personalized financial advice. Before making any financial decisions, we recommend consulting with a qualified advisor who understands your unique situation. For more resources, visit ellenbecker.com. We'll be back soon with more insights to help you live with clarity and confidence.